welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and in today's show, we are once again joined by Nico. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. This is becoming a very regular occurrence. We've had you on loads lately. If people don't like you as a guest host, then they've probably just switched off from this podcast completely over the past few weeks.
If they don't like me, you're screwed. I'm fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine. But yeah, how are you coping? Obviously, for those who don't know, we are still in lockdown. We're recording this on the August the 18th, so we're still in lockdown. It's getting reviewed tomorrow, so we might, you never know. We're not particularly hopeful that it's going to get lifted, but it might do, you never know.
That's the thing, it's a second lockdown for us. We got out for, 2 weeks, and then that was us back in.
Pretty much, like, we weren't out of it for long at all. I think we've been back in it now as long as we were out of it, so. But I think this second one's been worse for me than the first one. And it's not lasted anywhere near as long, but enough coronavirus talk, because everyone hears coronavirus talk everywhere. But anyway, for you listeners, this is bonus episode number 6, and in today's show, we are talking about our top 5 horror remakes / reboots, whatever you want to call it. I think this might be a little bit of a controversial one, because people have feelings about remakes. People don't always have the most positive of opinion about remakes.
I'm normally one of those people.
And we'll get into that in just a little minute. Before we do that, just want to remind everyone that you can find this show in a wide variety of places. We are available on all major podcasting platforms. Find us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Behind the Screams Podcast. Don't forget, we are also on Patreon. You can subscribe to us from as little as £1 a month. And throughout the tiers, we offer various perks, from shout outs to bonus episodes to actually appearing on the podcast. So please go search for us, patreon.com/behindthescreams. Have a look at those perks. And if you can throw us a few quid, then we will be forever grateful. It does help keep the lights on here at Behind the Screams. And yeah, it just helps us continue to make the content we're making at the pace we're making. Because we were talking off just before we came on about, you know, how much episodes we're releasing. When we first started, we were doing once a week, which is the sort of industry standard, if you will. When lockdown happened, we moved to once every 5 days, and we're planning to keep it at once every 5 days, just so that, you know, if you're a fan of the show, you get that fix just a little bit early. Don't forget, though, for Patreon subscribers, you also get all of our regular shows early, before the general release, usually a minimum of 24 hours, but I think our last one actually went out 3 days beforehand, so you do get a few days, hopefully, a few days extra to have a listen to the new shows before anyone else. But we're not here to talk about the Patreon, we're here to talk about our top 5 remakes. So, yeah, as I was saying, people generally don't have the most positive opinion on remakes. You're saying that you used to be, or sometimes are, one of them.
Quite a lot of the time I have been, yeah. I'm more keen to watch remakes now, because there's been so many remakes over the years I've looked forward to seeing, and they've just been absolute balls.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they do feel like they've been burned a little bit by remakes. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag about a couple that's not made my list, and I don't think it's going to be any surprise. But I think people feel like they've been burned by things like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, for example. That remake was just a hot, steaming pile of shit.
Well, yeah, but it's one of the ones that I actually watched, and I'm not going to lie, some of it I enjoyed, some of it I didn't.
The only thing I actually enjoyed about it was Jackie Earle Haley's acting. I think he did really good, and I think he was kind of let down by the rest of the film. But I don't know, that could be in your top 5, so I don't want to shit on it too much.
No, it's fine, you can shit on it all you want, because it's not in my top 5. I agree with you on that, by the way, and the other thing that I liked is they went more in depth with Freddy's background a bit, but that was it.
Yeah, I think they had some interesting theories. Like, I liked how they introduced the sort of idea of micro sleeping as well. Micro naps, I think they called it. I thought that was kind of clever, but I don't think they really followed through on it properly enough. We'll probably discuss a bit more about the general sort of consensus on remakes as we go along with the lists. So let's not hang about. Shall we just get straight into the lists?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, and do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
It's up to you. You're the host.
I think you went first last time, so I'll go first this time.
Okay.
Okay, so my number five pick of top five horror remakes is the 2007 film Halloween, directed by Rob Zombie.
Nice. You
Nah.
recommended it to me, and I still haven't seen it yet.
You've still not seen it yet? Okay. Now, I know what people are going to say. You're a fan of Rob Zombie, right? Like, well, you're probably
Yes.
a slight bigger, or at least a bigger fan of Rob Zombie than I am. We've talked, I think, in a previous episode about some of the Rob Zombie films that we like and dislike. You're a fan of Lords of Salem, if I'm right.
Yes.
Where I'm not, but we both agree that, Thousand Corpses and A Devil's Rejects are great, are good films, or if not great films. And you've not seen Halloween, but for me, Halloween is probably one of my favorite Rob Zombie movies. It does deal a whole lot more with the backstory to Michael Myers. You obviously see him as a kid. You get to see him without his mask for a whole chunk. And yeah, look at that film. That film's got a massive, like a really all-star cast. You've got Malcolm McDowell, who takes on the role of Dr. Loomis. Brad Dourif, who most people know as the voice of Chucky, he's in here. Danny Trejo is in. And Danny Trejo is in this movie, not playing an arsehole.
Really?
Yeah, like he's the nicest guy. I'm not gonna, I won't spoil anything for you, so I'm not gonna go in too in depth because I don't want to ruin it for you. But
Okay.
Danny Trejo actually plays like a respectable character, and you actually quite like him. You've got Sherry Moon Zombie in here, and I also like the fact that now this film, like I say, came out to the seven, 2007. I was 16 at the time, and I had such a huge crush on Danielle Harris. Like, for those who don't know, she originally was Jamie Lloyd in Halloween's 4 and 5. And she actually came back for the Rob Zombie versions.
Did she actually?
Yeah,
I never
yeah. She
knew
plays
that.
a completely different character. She doesn't play Jamie Lloyd. I can't remember what character she is. God, oh, that's terrible. Call myself a Halloween fan and I can't even remember what character Jamie Lloyd, as I say, Danielle Harris plays. I'm going to look it up quickly. Yeah, so Halloween, I just feel, Rob Zombie gets a hard time sometimes for how much he shows on screen. And he shows a
Yeah.
lot. Like, sometimes he shows things that you don't want to see. But I
Like, while
think.
you're looking that up, I'll give you a chance, and I'll basically, the reason that I haven't seen it yet is because when it came out, I was actually working abroad at the time,
All right, okay.
and then when I got back, most of my mates were saying, "Don't bother, it's rubbish. Don't bother watching it. It's absolutely rubbish." Like, there were so many people I know, because I was actually, that was one of the ones that I thought would burn me, and I don't know if it will or not yet, so I haven't seen it
Okay.
yet.
What I will say is, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 could be one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life.
So he's went from exceptionally good in the first one to, "Oh my God, burn this, please burn this."
Yes, like it's that. I
Wow.
think personally it's that bad. Danielle Harris plays Annie Brackett in Halloween, in Rob Zombie's Halloween, who's obviously played by someone else in the original. So she plays a character that was in the original Halloween.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so like I say, he sometimes gets a bad rap for showing, and in this film he doesn't hold back. Like you see that there's a rape scene in this film, and it seems incredibly unnecessary. But I don't want to defend like rape scenes and things like that, but it does seem to be the sort of Rob Zombie way of just showing humanity at their complete worst. But I think he does it really effectively in this film, and I think if you're gonna show humanity at the worst, I think that's a sort of character trait that really will suits Michael Myers quite well.
Jesus.
Anyway,
Well, I'll give it a look. Don't get me wrong, I will have a watch, but I know what you mean. He does like showing people that are just absolutely disgusting human beings on film.
yeah, and there is a lot of that in this movie as well.
You're making me want to see it now.
Well, that's kind of the aim, I guess, of our top fives.
This is true.
I think it's a really good remake. Look, I think it's better than the, and we kind of talked about this beforehand. You sort of set yourself the task of picking movies that you thought were better than the original, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Whereas I didn't really go that route. I don't think Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween, is better than John Carpenter's Halloween. Halloween, the original, is probably my favorite movie of all time. So, yeah. I also think the 2018 version is probably slightly better than Rob Zombie's version, but that's not a
I have
remake.
seen that now. I
Yeah.
have seen that now, and you recommended that as well, and I loved that movie, by the
Yeah,
way.
I think it's awesome. I think it's my second favorite Halloween movie, followed by Rob Zombie's version. But of course, that's not a remake, it's a direct sequel to the original.
Yeah,
But
it's
yeah,
like a
that
remake of two or something. It
yeah,
come
you
across
could
like
I
that.
guess you could say it's a remake of two, yeah. But I decided to go with this one instead. But that is it. That's it. Halloween is my number five. So do you want to give us your number five pick, please?
My number five, and you're probably going to slate me for this, is The Thing.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Okay. So why at number five? I mean, I've
Because I saw this and I didn't see the original first. So I
Okay.
saw the remake first.
Have you
So
seen the
that's the
original
reason it's at
then?
number five. I have.
Okay.
And yes, definitely the remake is better.
Yeah, I would. Sorry.
I love Kurt Russell in it. Like, it's one of his best performances in the remake. It's just absolutely amazing.
Kurt Russell and John Carpenter though had such a good relationship as well, because they obviously did quite a few projects together. And I'm sorry, but anyone who doesn't like sort of 80s Kurt Russell, there's something wrong with them.
If you don't like steak, you can't be a friend of mine.
Oh, it's good old Snake Plissken.
Yep.
Okay, so what did you think of the original? Because I've seen the original as well. I know most people probably haven't seen the original.
See, I seen the original and I'm like, this is like deja vu for me. And I watched, because this is the thing with my list, I watched the new one and I watched the original as well. So that's why it was a nightmare for me doing these ones. So the thing is, it was one of the first films I came across where the ending is left open. And that's what I always remember about this remake.
Yeah.
And the original, it's too slow, the original, compared to the remake.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that.
It's not that it's a bad movie, don't get me wrong, it is a good movie, but like I've said this before, I like the pacing of films. I like to be like engrossed in it, and you're totally engrossed in the remake.
Yeah.
And in the original, there's a couple of times where you're like, I could have nodded off there.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. And of course, we've covered John Carpenter's The Thing on this show not that long ago, actually, where me and Lindsay covered it, and we loved it. It got a really high ratings from us, and you're absolutely right. That open ending for me is something that you don't generally see that often. It truly is an ending where you can decide yourself, who's infected or who's not infected or what's happened. And it not even just the ending, but it leaves so many open questions throughout the movie as well. I recently put a thread up on our Twitter as well, asking for some thing theories, because you still don't know, like, for example, who destroyed the blood or whose shadow it was in that room earlier in the film, and a couple of other things as well. So it's really thought-provoking film, and there's so much in there just to love. The pacing's awesome, the tension in the atmosphere is awesome as well.
And it's a film where you watch it over and over again, you enjoy it more and more. And I love that in movies.
Yeah, definitely. The rewatchability of The Thing is just off the charts in comparison to some other films. Me and Dave have got an episode coming up on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre where we actually get into sort of like rewatchability of movies where we maybe didn't feel like that had such a good rewatch factor. But The Thing definitely has such an amazing rewatch factor.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So The Thing is at number five for you. So let's move on. I will go into my number four pick, and at number four is 2004's Dawn of the Dead.
Ooh, I do like that movie.
See,
It's been a while since I've seen it.
do you think Dawn of the Dead is better than the original? Because there seems to
See,
be 50-50 opinions on it online.
this is the thing, right? I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so I saw the originals. And the originals are brilliant for their time. And some of the remakes are good. I think there's a line down the middle where it's if you've seen the originals first, you tend to like hold them to your heart more. Whilst the remakes are brilliant, absolutely amazing, some of them. But you still you still tend to go, oh, well, he kept that character, he took that character, but Romero's amazing at doing that.
For me, Dawn of the Dead, I don't know if I think it's better than the original or not, but I think this is such an effective remake. And you know what? I watched it not long ago, and I kind of forgot how funny the film is. Like, there's some really good comedy in there. Of course, you've got Ving Rhames in there, who is, we've covered Ving Rhames before on the podcast, talking about People Under the Stairs. He's a naturally funny guy anyway, and he's quite good at little one-liners and quips and things like that. You've also got people like Ty Burrell in this movie as well, who's a really funny guy, although he plays a bit of an arsehole in this movie. And I think it's got to be remembered as well, this was Zack Snyder's first big movie.
Was it?
He'd done a few things like shorts and a couple of TV things I think beforehand, but this was his first sort of big movie, big budget project. Now obviously he's gone on to do things like 300 and Watchmen and Man of Steel and Justice League and whatever else, so he's obviously gone on to have this really great career, but this is where he started. I think this is a pretty damn fine first attempt, first movie.
Aye. I never knew it was his first one.
I mean, I think I did know that somewhere, but I kind of forgot about it, and then I was obviously putting together my notes for the show and that today, and then it came up and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But I think that's, listen, if Dawn of the Dead's your first movie, I think you've done pretty good off the bat.
Oh, I was thinking that myself. What's your favourite scene in it?
Of the remake,
Yeah.
I do like the scene where they're picking out zombies who look like celebrities.
Now, you know, yeah, it's like, what is that again? I'm trying to remember who it is. Is it not Elvis or
There's
something?
Elvis, and I think there's Burt Reynolds, and
Burt Reynolds, that's what I was thinking of. Oh,
it's just
brilliant.
this guy with this massive, big, thick, bristly mustache. I love that scene. That scene's so awesome to me. And like, there's, a really sassy old lady in it as well, who. I mean, I generally kind of like that sort of characters anyway.
Yeah.
But there's some really good scenes in there. There's some really harrowing scenes as well. You've got like obviously you've got the zombie baby, the zombie baby in there. And so it's got a good mix for me of good horror, some good violence and gore, some really harrowing moments, and it's got good comedy. It has a bit of everything for me.
See, my favorite scene is definitely the one I would try if I was stuck in a shopping mall back then.
Oh God,
And
okay.
you could tell what that is. It's the video cameras all over the shop with the TVs. That would be my scene. That would be what. But yeah, enough said on
Shall we move on then?
that
So shall you tell us your number four pick, please?
My number four is The Fly.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
I mean, it's got Jeff Goldblum in it, so that's good enough for me already.
Like the chemistry between him and Geena Davis. Like I think they've done a couple of movies together, and yeah, they're just brilliant together in The Fly.
The Fly, it's one of those films as well. It's like, I never know quite how to say this. There's a few films that sort of fall under this category for me. It's gooey and sticky and just disgusting, like, it really sort of gets under your skin a little bit.
Literally, yeah, it does. There's one scene that always gets me, and it's the broken arm scene. Yeah, because that just as soon as he does that, I'm like, ugh. And it's just brilliant. I love that movie. Like it's another movie you can watch over and over again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I've got it sitting on my shelf right now as we speak, so I'm probably going to go and watch it at some point in the next few days. How do you feel about the original?
The original, it same problem as The Thing. It's slower paced and the special effects. Like the thing is, I saw this again. I saw the remake before the original with this one, and I think that's a big factor for some people as well. So with that being said, I saw it and saw the special effects in the original and just thought, oh my God, this is shit.
Yeah,
You
and
know.
like, sorry.
No, not me.
Oh, so yeah, like we've obviously spoken about it a couple of times now. seeing the original first or seeing the remake first really will depend, like, will dictate almost how you feel about a remake. If you see the remake first, and I think that's why the thing now, especially, maybe not so much at the time, is now such a beloved film, because I feel like now so few people will have seen The Thing from Outer Space. Whereas, back in 1982, probably quite a few people had saw it. It was, okay, it was still an old film, but it wasn't old. It was at the stage where we are now with John Carpenter's The Thing, So I feel like as time goes on, time will be more favorable to remakes as the sort of next generation of horror lovers come through and they watch remakes potentially first.
Because, well, that's the thing. When I was talking about The Thing with one of my friends, she said, "Oh, so you prefer it to the original with Kurt Russell in it?" And I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I feel like that, however, is an unforgivable mistake.
She is only like 19, so forgive
Even
her.
still, know your horror history. Come on.
Well, this is true, but yeah, it's that's the sort of thing that will come up more often as they remake films again and again.
I
If
mean,
you're on the third or fourth remake, you mix up what the original is going to be.
yeah, and not only that, like, how many places do you see the thing from outer space sort of floating about? How many times do you see the original Dawn of the Dead or the original The Fly coming onto streaming services and things like that? It doesn't happen anymore. I feel like they probably should. I think there should be a bigger effort made by things like streaming services to get the originals, maybe some more eyes on it.
See, the thing is, you see it come up on Facebook with these, they'll hire out a cinema and watch the originals. And that's when you see these movies. And quite often, I've been to a few of them. I think the last one I was at was like, what was it, Labyrinth or something, you know? And when I went to see that, quite a lot of the audience were younger people wanting to see it in the cinema because they'd only seen it through their childhood. So you will get that, but it's the longer distance, the less people will want to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because as well, like, you also have that sort of group of people who's just not interested in seeing movies from 50, 60 years ago, I'm obviously not one of those people. We've covered movies from the 50s and things like that previously on the show. But there is definitely sort of that element of the audience out there that's maybe not interested in seeing, something, or even going further back, things like from the 30s and stuff like that. I mean, because you have a group of people who just really refuse to watch a black and white movie,
Well, yeah, but like I know a lot of people that like the artist came out and they're like, "I'm not watching a silent black and white movie," and I'm like, "Really?"
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Anyways, so The Fly is your number four pick.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we're into the top threes, and we'll start off with my one. So my number three, my top five horror remakes, 2006's The Hills Have Eyes.
Ooh, and is that the one with the Marines coming out of the toilet, or is that the second
I
one? I
think that's the
always mix them
second
up.
one. That's the
Is that the second
that's
one?
Hills Have Eyes 2. So I think this is maybe a little bit of a controversial pick because The Hills Have Eyes, the original one, is quite a beloved film.
Yeah, and I do love that movie, and I do think the original is better than the remake.
I love the original Hills Have Eyes, and I would probably err just on that side with you that I think the original is probably a little bit better than the remake, but I think this is a fine film. And it's Ted Levine, who obviously we probably best know as Buffalo Bill in The Silence of the Lambs. I mean, anything that's got Ted Levine in it, he's so good in things. I think he's so underrated as a horror actor.
Oh, yeah.
This is still a really brutal film. I don't know if you've seen this one.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it. Like, there is. The thing is, it's been that long since I've seen it. I'll probably mix that up with the second one a lot because I've seen the second one more recently. So, but yeah, I do remember the first one being good. That's why I watched the second remake because it was on. I can't remember which one of the streaming services it was on, but was on has been taken off again.
I think it's just so brutal, and for me the big sort of finale end when I can't remember the character's name now off the top of my head, but he makes it to the sort of test village where all these sort of nuclear tests have been taking place, and it's kind of really badass last like half hour of the movie. So Yeah, The Hills Have Eyes for me definitely, I think, deserves a place in the top five. I think it's probably of all the ones on my list. Actually, no, I might not take that considering what I've got coming up next. But it's definitely one of the few films that, okay, it might not exceed its original, but it comes really damn close. And for me, if someone was to say to me, "Do you want to watch the original or the remake?" I would really have a preference either way.
Yeah, to be honest, with that one, I would say whatever you fancy, because I do like both. I just prefer the original, but I could easily watch the remake again.
Definitely. Okay, cool.
I probably will now that you've mentioned it, to be honest.
I think I watched it not long ago as well. Again, it's got some brutal death scenes in it as well, so it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, because that's why I was thinking about the toilet bit where they were hiding in the toilet, and I'm like, oh, well, that's the one that sticks in my mind with the one I just watched.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so do you want to tell us your number three pick, please?
Right, so you're either going to hate me or laugh at this one.
Okay.
It's the Amityville Horror. See, I told you you'd laugh or hate me.
Yeah, the Amityville Horror has not made it. It's not even made it into my honorable mentions, quite frankly. Tell us
Yeah,
why you love the Amityville Horror. I can never say it properly either.
it's like me with a, what was that again?
A House of
Thousand
a Thousand
Corpses. I couldn't say it.
Corpses.
Yeah, House of a Thousand Corpses. Notice how I didn't actually say the full title again, just so I didn't balls it up. Yeah.
Anyway, so
So.
tell us why you like the Amnitive Amn oh, fuck it. Tell us how you like that film.
Amityville Horror. It's, well, the thing is, like, Ryan Reynolds is famous for doing comedy roles now. Like, he's brilliant at doing comedy and stuff. But there is, like, a couple of movies where he does it straight and it's actually good, and I think this is one of those movies. There's this and what's the one? Buried is the other one, I think it's
Yeah,
called.
I watched
The
that a couple
one,
of weeks ago, actually.
really good movie for somebody that's just in a box most of the
It's
time.
not bad, considering he is, single-handed, and the whole film is him single-handedly carrying the film. It's not bad.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, the remake, like, I wasn't a fan of the original Amityville Horror, to be honest. Like, it was okay, but there were so many folk going like, "This is the best horror movie ever." I was one of the folk that was like, "Yeah, it's all right. There's nothing special about it." But then the remake came about, and it got me going in the cinema. I can't deny it. Like, now it's just, yeah, fair enough. But in the cinema, it was just like, I wanted to know if he was going insane or not. You know what I mean? I'm like, is this going to go the way that like The Shinings went? You know what I mean? That's what I was comparing it to, and it was decently acted.
I think it's sometimes forgotten that Ryan Reynolds is actually a really good actor. Do you think because he is now so well known for things like Deadpool and some other comedy roles that he does, do you think that hurts some of his earlier serious, maybe more serious work? Because if someone's looking at that, having not seen it before, they're maybe not going to take it as seriously as it's intended.
But the thing is, he started off as a comedy actor. He went serious, and then he went back to comedy.
Yeah, but I
And
mean, he's so well known now for what he's doing in the last sort of 5, 10 years.
yeah, because, like, don't get me wrong, there's somebody who took it serious, and he was just absolutely gosh. We've talked about it before. Blade Trinity springs to mind straight away when I said that. But he is a good actor, and I like to see people that forget he's a good actor watching like Amityville Horror, and they're like, "Oh, this is actually good," and a lot of people slate it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm with you as well. I've never been a huge fan of those movies. Notice how I didn't try and say it there.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan of those movies. They just never really sort of hit the mark for me. So when I saw the remake, I really just wasn't that interested in it. And I think that's maybe a problem with the remakes as well. If it's a remake of something that people didn't necessarily like in the beginning, then it's already on a sticky wicket.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I didn't like the original, and the only reason I went to the remake was, funnily enough, I was going with a girl to the cinema. So,
This seems to be
who
like half of
loved
your
the
stories
original?
on this podcast.
I don't know why. Yeah, I'm such a nice guy.
It's 'cause you look like Jesus.
That'll be it. The girls are crazy for Jesus.
Yeah,
actually just said that, and it's being recorded. Oh, Jesus.
You better believe
Oh,
I'm not
Jesus.
cutting that
No, you're definitely not, are you?
shit.
I've slightly broken myself.
I'm sure you'll be fine. It's not gonna hurt your street cred too much.
No, I'm a crying with laughter right now. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So I went to see this with a girl who absolutely loved the original. And when we were leaving the cinema, I'm thinking, that was a decent film. I quite enjoyed it. It was better than the original. And the first thing she said before I even opened my mouth was, well, that was fucking gosh. And I'm like, oh no, I can't say that now.
Oh yeah, you can't.
No,
I would have
yeah,
ruined.
totally. It's totally rubbish. Yeah, didn't like it at all. Lying through my teeth. But I actually quite enjoyed it.
No, that would have ruined your chances for the evening.
It would have probably actually, because she was a proper diehard fan with certain like horror films.
I mean, like I say, Amityville Horror is just. It's just never really hit the mark for me. So to be honest with you, this is a movie that just never even came into consideration. I was never going to put it in my top five. I think I've seen it once. Maybe it's something I need to revisit and give another chance to, because it's been a really long time since I've seen them as well.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but I will say one thing, Rachel. If you're listening to this, I do apologize for lying to you.
Are you still friends?
No.
So the odds of her listening are probably pretty slim.
She does occasionally like message me once in a blue moon, going, "How are you?" But that's about as far as that goes.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
So we've made it to the top twos. So my second place pick, and this is a movie I could talk about all day long. It's 2013's Evil Dead. The Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, is one of my favorite films of all time.
Yes.
I like this remake just as much as The Evil Dead. And I think partly what helped with it is that I went into it with really low expectations because of how
Yeah.
much I loved the original. My mind was automatically, well, surely I'm not going to love this anywhere near as much because I love the original so much. And I remember I got halfway through this film, and I've spoken about this previously. I got halfway through this film, I turned to Kari, and I literally just went, this film is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
Like,
like I love that movie too, to be honest.
The Evil Dead, it's just great. It pays so much great homage to the original. But it's completely fresh. I think one of the things, and obviously we've done an episode on this, so if you want to hear our sort of deep dive into the remake Evil Dead, me and Dave have done an episode on this. Me and Dave have also done an episode on the original, so again, if you want to hear our sort of thoughts on that, go and check out those episodes, because we've done episodes on those before.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend the remake one because that was one of your best episodes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Fuck the other 58. No, I'm only joking. So
I'm
I
not
think.
saying it's your best one, I'm saying it's one of the best.
Okay. That's fine. One of the things I thought they were doing that was really clever is that they didn't recast Ash.
Yep.
I think if they'd recast someone else in the role of Ash, then the film would have just been off to the it would never have gotten off the ground with fans, because Bruce Campbell is Ash.
See, this would have made my top five had it not been the argument that folks say. And you know what I'm going to say right now.
Yeah, go on then.
It's a sequel.
It's a sequel. Yeah. So I've maybe been a little bit loose with my definition of remake, when it comes to this film. Obviously, for those who haven't seen, spoiler alert, there is a stinger at the end of the credits of Evil Dead where Bruce Campbell comes back and just says groovy. And if anyone is as big a fan of the franchise as I am, I pretty much did the dance in celebration because I got just.
You proper fan girl at that moment, because
You
so did I
do,
do.
because
It
you're
was
totally not expecting it as
dude, it was
well.
just oh.
You're totally not
It was
expect.
just like oh, I just loved it. Sorry.
You're just
But the
totally not.
fan girl I was thinking about.
You're just totally not expecting it, and then he comes on screen, just says his one word, and you're just like the noise effect you just made. You're just like, oh yes, but I think aside from that, the cast in this film is great. I really like how the actual sort of hero. Is a
Yeah,
deadite,
Mia.
yeah. Mia is a deadite earlier in the film, and they
Yeah,
successfully like exercise her.
Yeah, I thought that was just an absolute genius twist, because see when she got possessed, I'm like, oh, okay. I thought she was going to be the hard one,
Yeah,
and
and
then
then it sort of, sorry.
it sets up because she's a drug addict and everything, it sets everything else up. It explains, you always in horror films are like, oh, why are they doing that? Why won't they believe somebody?
Yes.
But she's coming down, so you're thinking, ah, well, she's just hallucinating because she's coming off the ship.
Yeah. We spoke about that in the episode. We spoke about how in a lot of films there's no real explanation for why certain people are in a situation. Her, this is an intervention for her, so immediately you're like, okay, it's ex they've explained why they're in this cabin. They haven't just given it the classic, oh, we're kids on a wee holiday sort of situation. And like you say, she's a recovering drug addict, so her behavior can be, or erratic behavior that can potentially be put down to the fact that she's, going through withdrawals and things like that as well. So I think that sort of string of the storyline was really clever as well. And there's some brutal gore. I mean, this film is gory. There is.
It literally rains blood.
It literally. I can't remember the stat, but there's a stat in the trivia in the episode where they used just tens of thousands of gallons of fake blood. The scene where she gets her hand cut off, you obviously again with calling back to the originals underneath that car for me was really brutal.
Yeah,
So yeah,
especially for me.
so yeah, this film for me definitely. One of the things I really liked, speaking about how they pay homage to the original, that's when they are in the cabin. The scene in the original where she's reading out the cards.
Yeah, is it not the same voice?
No, I can't remember. It might be the same voice. What I was going to say is, when they get into the cabin here, there's c playing cards laid out on the table in the remake, and they're in the same order as she read them out in the original.
Nice.
I just think stuff like that is so that. And we've spoken about how much I love attention to detail, and even when it's just in like tiny little details that have absolutely no bearing on the plot, little Easter eggs like that for me are just, oh, chef's kiss. Mwah.
Yeah, I loved, do not get me wrong, I loved that movie as well, but yeah, it's not better than the original, and B, it's a sequel, so that's why it didn't make my top five.
I think, yeah, look, if you're looking at this really specifically, it's a sequel. Just take away that stinger at the end though, and it's just a remake.
Oh yeah, but it's because they put the stinger in as an homage to it. That's what they're saying now. But the
Yeah.
original plan was going to be a sequel with him in it
Yeah.
and her,
Yeah, but
and I
obviously,
think that would have been just brilliant.
yeah. I mean, obviously you've beyond this as well, you've got the TV series Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Everyone should go and check out Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Definitely.
Okay.
Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless, someone I think most boys in the 80s and 90s had many a fantasy over.
No comment.
Okay, let's move on. Time for you to tell us your number two pick, please.
My number two is Red Dragon.
Right, okay. This was one that's in my honorable mentions.
Okay, right. Now, I saw Manhunter first,
Uh-huh.
and it was stylized and everything, and Brian Cox is brilliant in it and all that. I loved all that, but Red Dragon, I am a massive Hannibal Lecter fan, huge Hannibal Lecter fan. And when they redid it was just so much better. And I thought it was going to be bad because Jodie Foster's not in it. But I actually, and this is where a lot of people disagree with me, but I actually did prefer this Juliet. What's her last name again? I've forgotten.
Julianne Moore.
That's the one,
Are
Julianne
you
Moore.
confusing Red Dragon with Hannibal? Julianne Moore's not in Red Dragon. It's Ed Norton.
Oh no, I've mixed up the movies.
Red Dragon is a remake of Manhunter, but it's Ed Norton that's in it,
Yeah.
not Julianne Moore.
Yeah, it's the bite one, is it? I've just mixed them up.
Don't worry, I'll cut this bit
But yeah, I still prefer that as well.
out. Okay, that's fine. We'll talk about Red Dragon.
Okay. Yeah.
Your point still stands though, because obviously Clarice, like you say, Clarice Starling's not in this. It's a obviously Red Dragon ends up being is a prequel to the Silence of the Lambs. Have you read any of the books?
Yeah, I've read all of the books, which is unusual for me because I don't read books.
Yeah, so I read these books not that long ago, and I read Red Dragon first because obviously chronologically that's it's the first book,
Yeah.
and it's my favorite book of the entire sort of novel series as well. In terms of the movies, obviously, like I say, Red Dragon is the remake of Manhunter, bro. How do you feel about Red Dragon when you compare it to Hannibal and to Silence of the Lambs?
To those two, my favorite one is actually Hannibal. So,
Really? Really? Because see, of the
yeah.
three, Hannibal is my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah,
Because I
I mean,
think
least, I
it
say
goes
least
more in
favorite.
depth. I hate the fact they changed the ending. That's the only thing I hate about that movie. But up until then, it's brilliant.
I mean, I say it's my least favorite movie. It's my least favorite of three movies. I still love that movie. But yeah, I think I prefer Red Dragon, and I prefer Silence of the Lambs. I probably will just be predictable and boring and say Silence of the Lambs is my favorite. Red Dragon is my second favorite. In Red Dragon, though, yeah, you've got Ralph Fiennes. I think he plays I've forgotten his character's name now. Oh, what's his
The
character's name? I can't remember. Let me look that up.
Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy, that's it. I think he plays that really, really well. How do you
It's
feel about the sort of lack, maybe not lack, but the limited role that Anthony Hopkins plays in Red Dragon?
See, I understand it because they're trying to establish like all the stuff with Will, Ed
Yeah.
Norton's character. And it's mainly his film, not Anthony Hopkins film.
Yeah.
So it is a twist on it, and that's why they made the TV show out of it.
Yeah, which
'Cause
I
if you
love.
watch the TV show, it's pretty much this.
Yeah, and I love the
So
TV show. Well, at least the TV show as well. Okay, so I'm just sort of quizzing you a little bit here. So obviously, Brian Cox is Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter. You've got Anthony Hopkins, who plays him in this sort of film franchise, and then in the TV show, you've got Mads Mikkelsen, who plays Hannibal Lecter. Which one's your favorite?
out of them,
Yeah.
see, I love Anthony Hopkins, but I can't pronounce his name,
Mads
so it's
Mikkelsen.
gonna be that's the one.
Yeah.
He's very, very close second, which is very unusual because Brian Cox is amazing.
Yeah, it's another one of those things. It's like picking your least favorite child, sort of like you're picking your least favorite pet.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm probably just gonna go the same way as you. Mads Mikkelsen's fucking amazing in the TV series. But no, I completely love Red Dragon. I think Red Dragon is an awesome movie.
Yeah, like all the stuff with the Tooth Fairy and how he gets the paint and everything is just amazing.
Yeah, that scene where he's eating the painting
Yeah.
is so cool as well. And the cast's great. I mean, you've got Philip Seymour Hoffman in there as well, who's awesome. Like say you've got Ed Norton. Yeah, so the cast's just is just really top notch. One of the things that I always go back to, one of the things I love about Hannibal is of course that you've got Gary Oldman being completely uncredited despite the fact he plays a pretty major role in the film.
Yeah, that's Hannibal again, is it?
No, he plays well, I can't remember his name, the deformed character.
Yeah, that's in Hannibal, is it not?
Oh, in Hannibal, yeah. Sorry, I thought you said that was Hannibal. Yeah, no, in Hannibal.
Yeah, no, yeah, in Hannibal, he's the what's he called again?
We're
I
doing
can't
really
remember his
good.
name.
We're doing really good here tonight with characters' names. I'll look it up quickly.
I've noticed, but yeah, he's the one that in the TV show, like. The same character is played by the guy of oh, bloody hell, I'm awful with names today.
The character's name is Mason Verger.
Mason, yeah. So like Mason Verger is just one of the most evil people on like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Cause Hannibal twists this guy up so bad, and even Hannibal wants to kill him by the end of it. And
Yeah.
he loves creating monsters.
Yeah. No, like you're absolutely right. But cool. So, where are we? Yes, Red Dragon is your number two pick.
Yes.
Okay, so it is time then for us to speak about our number one picks. Obviously, I'm going first. So, my number one pick is a movie we have talked about already. I don't know if you can probably guess what it is. It's one that's on your list of top fives. And
It's probably number five.
my number one pick is 1982, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, I thought that might happen.
Listen, I tried my best to keep it under wraps when we were talking about it earlier. This isn't just one of my favorite remakes of all time. This is one of my favorite films of all time.
I must agree, it is a brilliant movie, but it's just, I do find the other ones so much better than the original ones. That's why it's like that. That's the way I've done it.
We've compiled our list on slightly different scales.
Yeah.
The different you've, there's a different qualifier to our lists. For I've not obviously not gone with the f of a sort of gradient on how much better they are than their originals. So I've
Yeah.
just gone with which ones I prefer. So, but for and me, I don't think any remake, with the possible exception of Evil Dead, even comes close to The Thing. This film is just such a masterpiece of cinema.
Oh yeah.
It's and we're gonna retread over everything that we've just said. It's atmospheric, it's paced sensationally, the special effects are amazing, it's got great acting, it's just all around a top quality movie.
Yeah, it's just absolutely like you can't get a better like isolation horror movie. Like there's not any that are as good as this one.
No, I completely agree. We went really in depth on the episode that we did on The Thing. I really do advise anyone to go back and check that episode because that personally is one of my favorite episodes that I've ever done, is talking about this movie, which is a shocker. Obviously, talking about my favorite movie happens to be happens to be something that I enjoy doing, talking about my favorite movies. So, yeah, The Thing for me, it just is head and shoulders above anything else. John Carpenter, and The Thing is. And we're talking maybe a little bit more about this at the end, but The Thing was absolutely hated when it first came out, completely
Yeah.
bombed, and it's not until more recently that it's gotten this status. I don't know how anyone can look at this film and think this is a bad movie.
Yeah, I must agree because it is like, don't get me wrong, if I was doing this on just like sequels, like without the original part, the thing would definitely be up there near the top.
Okay, we're not going to. Obviously, we've talked about it already, so there's no point in sort of just retreading over everything that we've just said. So we'll go straight through it. Nico, tell us your number one remake, please.
My number one is Cape Fear.
Cape Fear. Now, we've talked about this off air, and you feel this might have been a little bit of a controversial pick.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't count this as a horror film, but this terrified me as a child.
Yeah, and this is a conversation that I've had so often about horror, and it's almost like I want to say this, and it's almost like a PSA. Horror is what you make horror. Like, no one can tell you what's scary to you. And I hate, and if there's anyone out there on our social medias and have been a victim of this, just know that I hate it when someone says, "Oh, something's not a horror." Like, I've had people say things like Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Shaun of the Dead isn't horror because they're comedies. And you think, yeah, but they've got zombies and murders and, loads of gore and whatever else. Horror is what you define horror as. You cannot say what's scary to one person. And just because something is funny, and it's like something that I talked about with Dave when we were talking about horror video games, is something
Yeah.
doesn't have to be scary to be horror.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people will say this is not a horror movie, but I was 10 when I saw this, or like 11 years old when I saw this, and it terrified me more than my favorite horror film.
What was your favorite?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think Cape Fear is absolutely a horror film. And you get again, so I don't really want to hark on the point, but you get these people who think, "Oh no, it's a psychological thriller and stuff like that." And you think, "Well, no, that's just a subgenre of horror." Horror for me is one of the biggest, largest genres of cinema because it encapsulates so many different kinds because people have such a wide variety of fears, you know?
Yeah, and it's the thing, like he plays the part as if he's one of those like middle of the redneck area snake charmer type religious nuts. That's the way he plays the part. And it's just terrifying, absolutely terrifying.
I mean, personally, I think this is one of De Niro's best movies.
Yeah, I would put it up there as one of his best performances ever.
Like, obviously, and again, it's another film that's got, you look at the cast list of this film. You've got Jessica Lange, you've got Robert Mitchum, Gregory Peck. This isn't like an all-star film.
Yeah, Juliette Lewis is in it.
Look, I didn't even mention her.
Yeah, it's like she's the daughter, you know? And you're just like, he's just hit, like the final scene as well when he's escaping, and you just think if any movie needed a sequel just to give you closure, it was this one.
Oh, let's not get started on sequels because that upsets people just as much as remakes.
I quite like a good sequel, to be honest. I'm not going to deny it.
Awesome. Okay, so Cape Fear is your number one film.
Yes.
Okay, so do you just want to quickly run through your top five again for me, please?
Yeah, so my top five was The Thing, The Fly, Amityville Horror, Red Dragon, and my number one, Cape Fear.
Awesome. And my top five horror remakes are at number five, Rob Zombie's Halloween, number four, Dawn of the Dead, number three, The Hills Have Eyes, number two, Evil Dead, and number one, John Carpenter's The Thing. That's cool because this is another one of those, like, when we do these top fives, I always worry that we're probably, like, me and whoever I've got on just pick the same top five. And we've only had one thing in that list.
Literally, the
And it was literally the thing in that list that was the same. So that's awesome. And I really like your top five list as well because it's maybe ones that people weren't expecting. Because I feel like maybe I've been a little bit predictable in this, but it just happens to be where my sort of opinions lie, in that the thing's my number one, and you've got Evil Dead and Hills Have Eyes and Dawn of the Dead. Whereas I feel like you've really have picked ones that might get people thinking a little bit.
Well, I just went for ones that, because the thing is, I really don't like remakes normally, so I went for ones that I enjoyed, and it was the way that I looked at it is they are better than the originals. And don't get me wrong, Cape Fear, the original, is amazing, absolutely brilliant film. If you get a chance, watch it, because it's one of the films I saw the original first, and then I saw this, and this absolutely, like, this gave me nightmares and kept me up at night. And the original one, I remember seeing that at my grandmother's, I think it was. And it terrified me as well, but the new one was so much better. And they're talking about remaking it, and I don't think they could.
So you've obviously just said that you're usually a person that is not a big fan of remakes, and I kind of want to talk about this just a little bit because there is, and but you're obviously not above admitting that, you know, there's something's not going to be shit just because it's a remake.
Exactly.
And I've come across this a lot on social media, is just people, you know, whenever you're talking about remakes, they're just like, all remakes are shit. Like, and they
Yeah.
just, and that's it. And you just think, how can you possibly think that when there are movies like The Thing, like Cape Fear, and some of the others that we've talked about today? How can you just flat out say that all remakes are shit? It's not an opinion that washes with me. I just will not accept that opinion from everyone. The thing is, like, the other argument that always gets thrown is, oh, Hollywood's ran out of ideas.
Yeah, that one annoys the shit out of me, by the way.
That annoys me so much because you know what people were saying when John Carpenter's The Thing like bombed when that first came out? They were saying Hollywood's ran out of ideas. And
Yeah,
so that it's
they
something
always say that
that's
with the
something
remake.
that is being getting said for decades. And you know what? See, in the last 10 years, we have had an absolute renaissance of horror. And there's been so much good original horror movies that have come out in the past decade.
Oh yeah, I've seen how horror changes, and it went from being absolute gore fests to being like psychological, and you're twisting your brain, to just absolutely brilliant combinations of the two, and I've loved it.
And the thing is as well, we spoke about it earlier, how there's going to be, you know, a certain group of audience who's not maybe going to watch movies from more than 20 years ago, from more than 30 years ago. So if you want the sort of legacy of these horror movies to continue, at some point you're probably going to have to remake them.
Yeah,
John Carpenter, like, there's been another the thing since John Carpenter's one. It's a prequel, so it's not a sequel. But they took that and but they left it for 30 years, and then they took it and gave it to a whole new audience. Halloween still produces movies. You have, like we say, we talked about the Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Yeah, okay, that one didn't work out, but not every film is ever going to work out. We have original movies that bomb as well. So I just think this automatic
Exactly.
opinion that people have that it's a remake, therefore it's shit, is just that opinion is shit.
I agree, and I'm not going to deny it. I did used to be one of those people.
Oh, no, look, listen, like, you've seen the light, and I'm happy for you.
Praise to Jesus. But if you start doing that, if you get two candles out, I won't be sleeping tonight.
Okay, cool. So, before we get out of here, do you have any honorable mentions that you want to discuss?
No, because most of the honorable mentions you've covered.
Okay, well, I have a few that I just want to mention. I don't know if there's any in here. So, I had The Fly on my honorable mentions. We've obviously discussed that a little bit. I also want to mention the Suspiria, the remake to Child's Play, Maniac, The Grudge, The Ring, the remake to Friday the 13th, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, 13 Ghosts, The Crazies, and
Oh,
House.
you touched on the only one that wasn't on your list, the crazies.
The Crazies.
Yeah.
I love the new Crazies. Well, I say the new Crazies, it's not new now, but with Timothy Oliphant, I like Timothy Oliphant anyway. We obviously
Yeah.
talked a bit about him when we're doing our Die Hard episode. but The Crazies is a great film. And the last one I want to mention is, and this is maybe a controversial one, it's House of Wax.
House of Wax. Oh God, that was an awful remake.
See, no, I just, like, it's nowhere near as good as the original. But it's not trying to be, and it's trying to be something different. It's campy, it's funny. I think that's a good, fun movie.
The thing with that one is, I remember seeing that in the cinema, and this is what I was saying as well, where you go in thinking, this is going to be so much better. Nowadays, special effects are so much better. This movie, they can make it even better than the original. And that's what most people think of when they're looking forward to a remake. And this one is just, nah, it's just awful.
Listen, who doesn't want to see Paris Hilton get a spear through her forehead?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
The other one on that list, or there's a couple on that list that I want to give an extra mention to, Friday the 13th. I prefer the remake to the original.
Okay,
I've spoken
that's
about this
interesting.
before in an episode that we've covered on the original Friday the 13th. I'm not a big fan of that franchise, so I think, and I've spoken loads of times about how when you're coming to slasher films, the campier kind, not maybe to an extent, the campier the better for me. And I think Friday the 13th just fits nicely into that sort of that genre at the time of when, you've not long had things like Jason X and Freddy versus Jason and things like that. So I think it kept some of the campy fun from those two, but brought it a little bit more back to the seriousness of the original. And I think it did just had a nice balance. Listen, it's not the greatest of films, but I prefer it to the original. The other one I want to mention is Child's Play. This is one that kind of surprised me a little bit. When it came out, obviously people were kind of down on it before it even came out. And it just sort of surprised me a little bit. I wasn't going into it with particularly high expectations. I think the last half hour of it isn't the greatest piece of cinema I've ever seen in the world. I don't think it's
Yeah.
better than the original. But it's fun. I think it's a good film.
It's a good film, but like the Friday the 13th ones, you don't like those. And I have noticed that quite a lot of people that don't like that are massive fans of Halloween, by the way.
What are you trying to say? I'm sticking with my people.
I'm basically saying you're fitting in a pigeonhole slightly.
Oh no, you're not. Oh, let me just get myself out of this box.
It's one of those ones though that like there's so many people I know that it's like you either like Jason or you like Michael. That's it.
I like Elm
They're
Street.
well, yeah, but who doesn't?
Fair enough.
But it's just one of those ones that it seems to be one way or the other. It's like Marmite.
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously you get certain people who love both, but in general, people sort of tend to pick sides, I think, when it comes to this sort of thing as well. So yeah, I would go with you there.
See, I like both, but I like Friday the 13th, especially just for one little detail.
And that is.
And that is he's a deadite.
Okay, I can get that.
So he is linked to the evil dead.
Yeah, but that's just not enough for me. Listen, Jason's probably the thing I like about this, the thing I like the most about the franchise. I don't dislike Jason. I think Jason's awesome. There are other factors around those movies as to why I dislike them.
Yeah, but I always wanted to see Jason versus Ash, because we got Freddy, but where's Ash?
I think that there's been a few calls for it. I don't think we're ever going to get it, at least not in the
No, we're.
next decade or so anyway. So maybe something that's down the line. I think that might have to be something that's done when in a few decades perhaps, when maybe Bruce Campbell has retired or whatever,
He's
because
got to come out of retirement just to finish off Jason.
but the thing is, people will never accept anyone else other than Bruce Campbell to play Ash.
Exactly.
So the franchise literally goes wherever Bruce Campbell goes. If Bruce Campbell doesn't want to do Ash, then Ash is not going to be in it.
Yep, and it's a pity because it's a very good franchise. And
Oh.
that's one that could have a crossover franchise and build on it very well.
I think the Evil Dead franchise is the only franchise in cinema that is excellent with every single entry.
Yeah, like Army of Darkness is my favorite.
Army of Darkness, Evil Dead, the original probably is just my favorite by a smidge. Army of Darkness is fucking awesome. Evil Dead 2 is great, and the remake or sequel or whatever you want to call it is awesome as well. And then you've got the TV series Ash vs. the Evil Dead, which is just so much fun. That I just don't think they've made a misstep.
Yeah,
Which
I
again,
must
then I
agree with you.
think means they have to be a bit careful if they do decide to do anything else with it.
But it's one of those things where they could pretty much, like, if they had Ash versus him, just one movie, they could hand over the mantle to somebody else so that they can carry on the franchise.
Yeah.
Or they can make Jason movies where, if he wanted to, he could make appearances. It's
Yeah.
one of those, they could get out of jail free clauses with it.
Yeah, no, they definitely could do that. But anyways, that's just gonna be about it for this week's show, Nico. Thank you very much for agreeing to do another one of our top fives. You're the only one who's gotten to do two.
Oh, I feel
You
privileged.
should feel privileged. You obviously came on earlier, was it last month, and we did top five vampire movies, so please everyone go and check out that. If you're a big fan of Nico in particular, out of all of our guest hosts on the show, go back and check out our episodes on things like Shaun of the Dead, no, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. What else have we talked about? My brain is taking major brain farts.
I'm trying to think what's out.
Girl on the Third Floor. We've also done
Yeah.
an episode on The People Under the Stairs. And if not, you can always subscribe to our Patreon show. Nico's come on to do a couple of those. We've got Horrible Histories episode, and we've also done a review on Die Hard. So please do go check out all of those episodes. Nico, we're going to get you back because you're going to be doing our Patreon pick for the month of September.
Yes, and by the way, out of all the ones I've done so far, Die Hard is one of my favorites.
Die
Probably
Hard
my
is one.
favorite right now.
Yes, so please go subscribe to the Patreon. Give us your monies. Reach into those wallets. Give us some cash. Make it rain, baby.
I'm not saying it for that reason, it's just that's one of my. I'm not going to spoil it.
He hates the
Right,
movie, really.
yeah, just. Oh, it's disgusting.
yeah. But no, yeah, like I say, patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can subscribe to us from as little as £1 to get all of our bonus episodes. Subscribe to us at the £5 tier or above. But there are so many other perks. You get access to Discord on subscriber only servers. We get access to shout outs, which I'm just going to do in a moment. And all the way up to the top tier where you can actually guest host with me on the show. So there's definitely things there for you guys to want to go and subscribe to us. So please go and do that. Like I say, Nico's going to be back later this month. We're going to be talking about September's Patreon pick movie, which is the Thai film Shutter. Just about when we get managed to get our hands on it, so we will have that out later this month. But once again, thanks to Nico for joining us. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is at Behind the Screams Podcast. Up next on the show, we have Dave returning to the show, and he's going to be on to talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Any thoughts about that?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I just don't watch the one with Hey Y'all in it. Go watch Magic Mike, you'll feel better.
That's advice everyone should live by.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Okay, thank you once again to you for coming on. Thank you to everyone who downloaded and listened to this show. And we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.